Oh, it's a serious thing to make a false profession and then live in hypocrisy. But Romans 2 talks about the result, the sad and sure result. Verse 24, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The world can see right through hypocrisy. The name of God is blasphemed among the outsiders, among the Gentiles, because of you. Oh, do we see that? Every time, the world will be quick to see it, and almost rightfully, it seems, shake their head when they see the hypocrisy. Oh, beware of hypocrisy. You know, this is particularly solemn for leaders, teachers, those who stand in pulpits.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study of the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled Religious Hypocrisy. I invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Hypocrites tend to be occupied with the outward observance. I go to church, I pay my dues, I've done my baptism, I've done this, I've done that. They're occupied with the outward. Okay? Secondly, verse 8, they honor me, he says, with their lips. A lot of talk with hypocrisy. A lot of lip service. Third, no heart. But their heart is far away from me. Lip service, but no heart. Fourth, verse 9. Teaching as their doctrines the precepts of man. Instead of the word of God, teaching the word of man. By the way, you say, well, no, these religious hypocrites, they were holding the Bible. Yeah, they were. But you see, they were misinterpreting it, and they were interpreting it. They were basically ending up teaching their own ideas rather than the ideas of God. And so whether you're in Romans 2 or here in Matthew 15, or you take the whole Sermon on the Mount, for instance, and Jesus was saying, you guys say, and then they would quote and misapply Scripture, and then he'd say what the Scripture really meant. And so hypocrites, they might handle Scripture, and these Pharisees, oh, they memorized Scripture, they could rattle it off, and they did. But they really taught the precepts of man. And that is typical with hypocrites. And notice it leads, verse 9, to vain worship, absolutely worthless. That's what that word means. In vain do they worship me. You can worship and worship and worship if you've got a hypocritical heart. And it's vain worship. No matter how many ceremonies, outward rituals, washings of hands and bodies and all the other things, it's vain, he says. Turn over to Matthew 23. Listen to our Lord over there. I repeat it. Have you ever had someone say to you, you hypocrite? That is a strong statement, is it not? And our Lord said it seven times in Matthew 23 alone. Woe to you Pharisees and scribes, you hypocrites, he said. He calls them blind guides, fools, serpents, broods of vipers, whitewashed tombs. I mean, this chapter, read it sometime, but seven times he pronounces woe on them. Verse 13, 14, 15, and etc., you will see him say, you hypocrites. But notice, listen to the first few verses. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. What's the key to hypocrisy? Well, pretty simple. Just what he says in Romans 2. They say things, but they don't do them. Oh, listen up. They sit themselves in the pulpits, you know. They've got a lot to say, but he said, don't do what they do. Just do what they say, because they're hypocrites. They say things, but they don't do them. That's the key to understanding hypocrisy. And they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with as much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments, and they love the places of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplace and being called by men rabbi. He says, oh, look at them. They love to tie up heavy loads. You know, one of the great reasons for fallout in Christianity is that kind of hypocrisy. And in fact, I'll bring it closer to home, parents. No one will see hypocrisy more clearly and more thoroughly than your children. And we wonder sometimes, and you say, well, I loaded them up with plenty to... We had rules! Yeah. Hypocrisy will be seen. And that putting on a show outwardly, but at home, on the home front, they see a little bit closer to the reality. Don't be called, verse 8, Rabbi. For one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. And don't call anyone on earth your father. And millions do, don't they? For one is your father who's in heaven. And don't be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. God will see the reality. Look over verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Outwardly, oh, it looked really clean and nice. Inwardly, full of filth. Even so, you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You might be able to fool man, you will not fool God. That's the principle that Jesus underlines time and again, and the scripture teaches. Now look over at Romans 2 for just a moment, and notice that religious hypocrites are particularly vulnerable to three sins. Very prone to three sins: pride, greed, and immorality. Those three sins, by the way, you find time and again in Scripture. But look at it. Verse 17. If you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God, oh, what arrogance and what pride being exhibited. And know his will and prove the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Israel said, we have the law. These Gentile nations know nothing of God, and they fancied themselves the light in the darkness, themselves, and the guide to the blind. And their religious leaders, of course, epitomized it by the time of Jesus, and he called them blind guides of the blind. Pride, greed. You, therefore, who teach another, verse 21, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? And the money that the Pharisees were making at the time, they were lovers of money, the scripture says. And you know, where religious hypocrisy goes, oftentimes men, leaders, are fleecing the sheep and eager with greedy hands and eyes to get all that they can. Religious hypocrisy often goes hand in hand with greed. And then the third thing, verse 22, immorality. You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You don't have to look very far. In fact, I keep a list in my desk drawer of Christian leaders, men who've been called leaders and who've made great profession, who have been exposed in immorality. And the list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. Some the world knows about, some just the small city knows about that hear about it, but always it's a reproach. Always it's a reproach. And so you'll see these three sins, and you'll see that people who indulge in hypocrisy are very prone to these sins. Now I say, don't read these verses and merely apply them to the Jew. Read them and put your name in there. If you bear the name Christian and say, oh, I've got the Bible, I've memorized the Bible. Some of you young people, I've gone to a Christian church. I was baptized in a Christian. My folks are Christian. I've memorized big portions of the scripture. Don't just trot out what you've done and your Christian heritage. That only further condemns you if that's where your trust is. Oh, beware. Beware of religious hypocrisy. God hates it. Turn back to Isaiah. Let's listen to the prophets for a moment. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. The prophets, well, we need men like the prophets today in the church, the prophets God raised up in Israel to speak directly to the sins of Israel. And it's sobering to read. Isaiah 1, verse 14, this is the Lord speaking, I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They've become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. That's what he said about your high days and your holy days, your Christmases and your Easters, so to speak, your Sunday mornings, you know. He says, I hate it. It's become a burden to me. Well, read the context. You say, why did he hate it? Well, verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Their incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity. And the solemn assembly, you're mixing this kind of immorality and lawlessness with religiosity. And he says, I can't stand it. I hate it. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, verse 15, I'll hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of bloodshed. God is looking for reality. Reality. And many who are praying to God and calling on us to pray aren't being heard because they're religious hypocrites. That's true in every generation, but the Bible always cuts through the fog as a sharp two-edged sword and gets right to the issue. Look over at Micah, a contemporary of Jeremiah, or of Isaiah. Look over at Micah. Chapter 3. Verse 11, this is the case in Israel. And you know, you can't help but see the parallel to our nation today. Leaders in the secular realm, leaders in the religious realm, pastors, leaders who should know better, who should be leading our lives in righteousness, who should be leading us in morality, the opposite. Chapter 3, Micah, verse 11, her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe. Her priests instruct for a price. You can buy them off. The rich and the famous can have their own priest or pastor or cardinal or whatever. And her prophets, they divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come upon us. Therefore, on account of you, Zion will be plowed as a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the temple will become a high places of a forest. You know, as we have given lip service to God as a nation, and yet turned away from God and moral standards and legalized all kinds of disrespect for human life and slaughtered the unborn and moved towards slaughtering the aged and on and on. And we are shocked when we say, oh, calamity won't come to us. God is with us. And we're shocked when we start to see the wreckage burst out in events like we saw this week. When we've allowed the culture to be desensitized to the righteousness of God and the holiness and the sacredness of life, we ought not to be surprised. And God warned through the prophets, this is coming, Israel. You're going to see horrendous judgment if you don't stop with the hypocrisy. But their priests, their leaders, their princes, their prophets, those who should have spoken up, were not. Hosea 9, all their evil is at Gilgal. Hosea spoke to the northern kingdom, and that was the center, Gilgal, of their religious hypocrisy. It was the center of a fertility cult. And so the immorality mixed with the religion was just unreal. And Hosea says, all their evil is at Gilgal. Indeed, I came to hate them there. I will drive them out of my house, God says. That's what God says. Oh, it's sobering. And you know, this is true, not just to the men in leadership, but right down to the man on the street. Turn to Amos. Turn to Amos, chapter 5. And listen to Amos. You know, Amos wasn't a prophet. He was just a sheep herder of Tekoa. And so he spoke very vividly. He was a prophet. I mean, God ended up using him as a prophet. But he'd speak very vividly. And I think of what he said here. The Lord, verse 21, chapter 5, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, and I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. Take them away from me, the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sounds of your harps. That's strong language, isn't it? You see, people are religious, and they think they'll be right with God because of their religion. He says, I hate that stuff. Take it away from me. And there are many who claim to be Christians, and you meet them in every realm. I remember one time I introduced myself and to a neighbor years and years ago in another neighborhood we lived in, and this guy, he immediately, as he found out I was a pastor, he started yakking Christianity to me. He just knew. He'd talk, I believe in the second coming, he said. I've read, and he started just chatting it up. He was looking ahead to the return of the Lord. And I'm standing there in awe because I was his neighbor. I saw his lifestyle, open immorality. But boy, he could chat second coming to me, you know. It reminded me of this passage, Isaiah, or Amos, look at verse 18. When he talks to these hypocrites, he says, alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord, for what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light. As when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him. Amos just drew pictures very well. You know, people say, oh, the Lord's coming back. Well, then think about it, I thought to myself as I tried to confront this neighbor and his gross hypocrisy, talking about the second coming of the Lord and living in that kind of open rebellion. Alas, for you who are longing for the day of the Lord. It's not going to be a good day for you. You're going to go home fleeing from a lion. You're going to meet a bear. Or you go home fleeing from the lion. Look at the rest of verse 19. He finally gets home, leans his hand on the wall, and a snake bites him. Oh, don't you be looking ahead to the second coming of Christ. If you're living in hypocrisy, Amos would say. It's exactly what Jesus said, is it not, in his most famous sermon? They're going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we do this in your name? We did that in your name. We went to concerts in your name. We preached in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. God sees right. It's never a question with God. He sees right through hypocrisy, particularly religious hypocrisy. Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, one could multiply the passages, and I probably should stop, but I want you to see this one, Jeremiah 7, because it's so appropriate to our day. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who entered by these gates to worship the Lord. He said, go out to the church doorstep, basically. He said, get out there where people are coming in to the Lord's house and hear the word of the Lord. Say this to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 3, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds and I'll let you dwell in this place. Don't trust in deceptive words saying, this is the temple of the Lord, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. I go to church, I go to church, I go to church. He says, don't trust in that. Don't trust in that. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly practice justice between a man and his neighbor, if you don't oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your own ruin, then I'll let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you're trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery? There you've got these same sins again. And swear falsely and offer sacrifices to Baal and walk after other gods that you've not known. And then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered, that you may do all these abominations. Are you going to say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm covered by the blood, and then go continue doing these things? Oh, no. He says, don't do that. Has this house, verse 11, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, declares the Lord. Jesus quoted this verse, didn't he? He took this passage and he brought it right home to Israel. He said, oh, don't say, this is the house of the Lord. This is to be a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of robbers. You've commercialized this thing. And what have we seen in our generation but much of the same? Jesus applied it very specifically to the hypocrites of his day. And he said, God sees right through it. Now, what's the result of all this? We'll look over at Romans 2 again and notice. And by the way, don't misunderstand. This building isn't the house of God. The temple of the Lord, he was supposed to stand at the gate. this building, obviously, in the house of God, you know, it's more sobering, though, is it not? What is the house of the Lord? What is the dwelling place of the Holy One? His people. Oh, it's a serious thing to make a false profession and then live in hypocrisy. But Romans 2 talks about the result, the sad and sure result. Verse 24, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The world can see right through hypocrisy. The name of God is blasphemed among the outsiders, among the Gentiles, because of you. Oh, do we see that? Every time, the world will be quick to see it, and almost rightfully, it seems, shake their head when they see the hypocrisy. Oh, beware of hypocrisy. You know, this is particularly solemn for leaders, teachers, those who stand in pulpits. I would encourage you to follow some of these. Read Ezekiel 22. The prophets, the priests, the princes, they were all corrupt. Our culture today, I shudder for America. From the governmental leaders to the so-called priests to the pastors to, you say, where are the prophets who speak out? The hypocrisy that God saw, and he said, I'm going to bring judgment on the land. And we live in a day that desperately needs to hear these things. Now, let me just, I was going to press home five thoughts, but we're out of time. Come next time, we'll talk about five applications to this. But let me leave you with one of them. You may be here without Christ. There's really only two kinds of people here. You either have Christ or you don't. You may be here without Christ, and you may have fooled yourself. You've got a lot of scripture memorized. You know the outward observances. You've done all the outward things, but inside there's no real life. Your dependency, in fact, is on those outward things. You need to come to Christ. You need to humble yourself before Him. You need to have done with all your righteousness, not bear the name Christian and rely upon your knowledge, but rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ who died for sinners. That's what you need to do, is come to Jesus Christ. Or you could be here and you're from a different background. In fact, you're from the background that's kind of saying amen to this. I've seen this all my life. What he's saying is finally true. I agree. And you've kind of hid in verse 24. You've blasphemed the name of God because of the hypocrisy you've seen. Don't do it. God isn't going to ask you when you come before God, what'd you think of the hypocrites? He's going to ask you, what did you do with my son? What did you do with my son? You're not going to be held. You won't be able to claim verse 24. A lot of people kind of self-righteously claim verse 24. I've seen enough hypocrisy. Maybe you have. So what? Come out from your sin and come to the sinless one, Jesus Christ, and He'll save you from your sin. We all need Christ. We all need the only foundation that can be laid in is Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Religious Hypocrisy, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us in person for our Sunday worship services at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. at the church located at the corner of Southwest Murray and Weir Road in Beaverton. You can go to our website at swbible.org for more details. We hope to see you there. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Look at verse 24 now in our text. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. The name of God is blasphemed because of religious hypocrisy. I think of David, man of God, loved God, but he sinned grievously. And he was involved in hypocrisy. And Nathan, God's prophet, had to come to him and expose his sin and point it out. God's prophet, God's word, spoke to his heart, and he confessed his sin, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord. And the prophet said to him, Nathan spoke to him and said, your sin is forgiven. However, by this deed, you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part 3 of the message titled Religious Hypocrisy. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.